This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. La ilaha
illallah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulil Kareem. Wa ala Ali wa sahabi. Wa man istanna bi sunnatihi ila yawmiddin. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah's peace and blessings be on the last Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and on all those who follow the path of righteousness until the last day. The topic, as was introduced by my brother, on volunteering in Islam, as you all are volunteers. And this is an issue which Muslims all around the world who are engaged in Islamic work have to consider. You know, how do we look at volunteering in Islamic events, efforts, etc.? Because the work of establishing Islam, learning Islam, conveying Islam, to a large degree depends on volunteers. Should it be that way? That's something which is debatable. If we look at the basic definition of what is a volunteer, it's basically one who freely gives of himself or herself for a cause, an event, or an activity. Freely giving, meaning that they don't get any obvious reward for it. Now, it could include some payments to cover costs, but the idea is that it's not like a job. You're being paid for doing a job. You're doing this freely from yourself. Some of your expenses may be covered, and otherwise, it is a sacrifice. It's about some form of sacrifice. And in fact, because of the fact that teaching the Quran for money, is considered something objectionable. The Muslim Ummah, from the earliest of times, they would never consider the Quran teachers, those who are teaching the Quran, as workers, that this was actually a job per se, but rather that those who are teaching the Quran were volunteering their time to teach the Quran, and money was given to cover up for their expenses. Because if they dedicate their whole time to the teaching of the Quran, then they have no time to earn their living. So the money was given as support and not as payment of salaries. You know, so this is the way of thinking that Muslims developed with regards to teaching the Quran in particular. Teaching other things, people didn't have any problem with being paid for, but the Quran, because this is the word of Allah, and the idea of charging people to gain the word of Allah, to learn the word of Allah, or that teaching it, you would be paid for it, you know, was objectionable from Muslim thought. Right? So they develop this other way of approaching it. And if we look from the early generation of Muslims, the first generation, the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who were engaged in promoting Islam in Mecca all did so voluntarily. There was nobody who was hired to do the job of promoting. You know, the Islam spread on that basis. Islam spread to Medina through volunteers going to Medina from Mecca. Mus'ab ibn Umair, he was the first to be sent out of Medina, out of Mecca to Medina, and he stayed there and propagated Islam among the people of Medina. Now, this was voluntary on his part, but they did provide for him food, a place to stay, etc., because he would not have been able to do what he did otherwise. So we can see from the early example, and after Islam spread in Medina, the continual spread of Islam was always done by individuals on a voluntary basis. There was nobody who was hired or working as a full-time da'i or caller to Islam. So we can say in general, we do have a responsibility to convey the message of Islam to those around us. From the Prophet ﷺ's instruction, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً, convey whatever you've learned from me, even if it's only a single verse of the Quran. This is an instruction which the Prophet ﷺ gave based on the command in the Quran from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who also said, أُدْعُوا إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ, call to the way of your Lord with wisdom and fair preaching. So this was an Islamic instruction coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reinforced by the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is a duty of Muslims. To do so is not in and of itself something voluntary. It is an obligation which has been placed by Allah on all Muslims, that whatever we have learned from the Prophet ﷺ, we have the duty to convey that message to others. Because had others not conveyed the message to our foreparents, our great-great-great-grandparents, whatever, then we would not have been Muslims today. This is the reality. So this conveyance of the message, spreading the teachings, this is an ongoing responsibility of the Muslim community as a whole, and those in the community who have the best knowledge, the best abilities to speak, etc., then that obligation becomes even that much more heavy on their shoulders. It's on everybody, but those who are more capable, it becomes on their shoulders even more so. So, to help those who have taken up this responsibility, since it's a community responsibility, and there will arise in all the Muslim communities some individuals who will take it on and go ahead and try to do it, it is the duty of the rest of the community to support them, to help them. To help them, whether it is financially, you know, or to help them, whether it's politically, or to help them from a physical volunteering perspective. That you have some who have stood out and have taken the responsibility and going ahead, then the rest of you, okay, you see yourself not able to give that kind of time or to commit yourself on that level, but you support them. So the volunteering spirit comes in support of those who have taken up this responsibility which was on the community as a whole. So then, as a volunteer, we have to have the right mindset. Otherwise, our voluntary commitments will not last long. Volunteers are known for coming for a while in the beginning, very much worked up and everything. And then, you know, as time passes, they get weaker and weaker and weaker till we don't see them anymore. This is a cycle that volunteers seem to go through. Wherever we are in the world, volunteers, whether it's for religious activities or other activities, even if, you know, outside of religion, just social activities, etc., the volunteers start a lot in the beginning and they are very vigorous, but then with time they get weaker and weaker till they drop off. This is a cycle perhaps we can never stop. That's just how life is. But for those who do join, we encourage you to consider what in fact is your commitment and why you made this commitment. Because though the project you're committing yourself to may benefit others, when you join it voluntarily, you are benefiting yourself. You have to see the benefit for yourself. If you can't see the benefit for yourself and you only see it as benefiting others, then it's more likely that you will fall away. You will lose your enthusiasm. Because, you know, you help a person, you help another person, you continue helping, you know, eventually you get tired. This is our nature. But that's when we look at it as merely helping others. But the reality of the matter is that we're helping ourselves. When we volunteer in a dawah organization or any Islamic project, etc., we are helping ourselves, first and foremost. Because we are earning through it good deeds. As the Prophet ﷺ had said, "Dalal al-khair kafa'ili." One who guides others gets the reward of whatever they do. If we guide somebody to do the right thing, to do a good thing, we get the same reward that they earn for doing that thing. So it is for our benefit. We stand to benefit the most. So therefore, we have to treat the voluntary work as beneficial first and foremost to ourselves. And when we look at it that way, then we will be more likely to look after it and keep it going. Right? So very important for us to have the right mindset with regards to voluntary work. And we know in Islam, we have the obligatory and the voluntary. Right? This voluntary we may call sunnah or mustahab, other terms for it. But the voluntary work is ultimately the goal. The obligatory is really to train us to do the voluntary. If you think about our day-to-day prayers, right, and our fast, etc., in Ramadan, etc., this is to get us to fast outside of Ramadan and to get us to pray outside of the obligatory times. That's the ultimate goal, because the voluntary act of righteousness is greater in reward ultimately than the obligatory act. What you are obliged to do, you have to do no matter what. If you don't do it, you're in sin. So you are obliged to do it. Whereas the voluntary act, you're not obliged. If you do it, you're rewarded. If you don't do it, you're not punished. It's not considered a sin. So the challenge in doing the voluntary is far greater. We have to look after it even more, you know, meticulously. We have to be very careful with the voluntary. Obligatory is obvious. It's clear, it's in front of us. The voluntary is more subtle because it requires us to commit to something we didn't have to commit to. So when we make that commitment, we should do so with the strongest of intentions. We should make the greater effort to preserve the voluntary even than we have to make for the obligatory. Because for the obligatory, we know we have to do it. We know we have to do it. And if we leave it, it's a sin. So we're going to do it. If we are Muslims, practicing Muslims, we're going to do it. But the voluntary, this is something which has to come from ourselves. So, seeing it as for our benefit, then in order to ensure that we preserve it, we have to manage our time. Because what happens, why do people end up, you know, dropping out of voluntary work? Because they find other things that they want to do. And then they say they don't have time. We got busy, we don't have any more time for the voluntary. So it becomes an issue of time management, managing our time. Shaitan is busy to keep us occupied and to believe that we don't have time to do the extra good deeds. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ had said, "Ni'matani maghbunun fihima kathiru min an-nas." There are two blessings or two gifts from Allah which most people are deluded about. He said, "As-sihhatu wal-faragh." Sihha is good health. We are tricked by our state of good health to think we'll always have good health. Things will always be good. Until you lose your health. When you lose your health, then you value good health. Wal-faragh, and his spare time. That is spare time. That you think you have spare. I will always have time to do it. You know, let me put this thing off, I'll do it later, I'll find tomorrow, the day after, whatever. And then time passes, we're not able to do it. So, it is easy to become deluded with regards to voluntary work and the time that it has to be done in. So we have to be very, very conscientious about looking after that voluntary commitment by scheduling. Set a schedule. Put it on your wall. Remind yourself. As long as you can keep things in the schedule, you can keep it going. When it slides out, when you procrastinate, Shaitan tells you, "Oh, you got this to do, that to do, the other to do, you know, put it till tomorrow." Yeah, this is, you know, once you start putting it until tomorrow, then that is the beginning of the decline. So we have to keep that voluntary spirit alive, then we stick to our schedules. Whatever schedules we've made, stick to it. Give it its proper time. Stay behind it. So, this is just, you know, a brief reminder for you. You are all volunteers working for this Dawah organization. And we all do need reminders from time to time. So this is just a reminder. I'm sure You all are hardworking. I've met some of you, and it's clear you're dedicated. You're trying to do the right thing. But at the same time, we're all human beings, and we do have our own weaknesses. And very important for us to work closely together, keep track of our fellow brothers and sisters in activities, because sometimes it's just a reminder, sister doesn't show up this week. You know, if somebody calls her up and say, are you okay, everything is okay, so and so, rather than calling her up and say, why weren't you here? Right? You're assuming that they could have come, but they chose not to come. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Are you okay? That's different, right? Are you fine? Is your health okay? Are you having any problems? Can I help? Something like this. You do it from that perspective, they feel good. And that will help to encourage them to come back. So also, we have to be very careful in terms of the words and the language we use when trying to keep volunteers active, you know, because they are making a sacrifice. So we should recognize that sacrifice, give them the benefit of the doubt, and offer them support. And that will help to encourage them. Because when people feel that others care about you, then you want to be around those people. See, that's the psychology behind it. You know, we want to be a group that cares. You know, that you care about each other. Very important. That the strong will help the weak. When you're around others, that's why even if you feel yourself getting weak, then try to be around the people more. Those who are committed, the hardworking ones, try to be around them more. That will help to strengthen your own will to keep working for the sake of Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ had told us to be careful about who we choose as our friends, because we'll be raised on the Day of Judgment with our friends. So we try to develop and build on our friendships which come from the group of volunteers. Try to be close to the most hardworking ones for yourself, and be close to the weaker ones for them and for yourself. You know, you try to be close to everybody, but you be conscious that you're close to those who are in the leadership, not because you want to be in the leadership, you know, you want to be recognized, but because you want to benefit from their enthusiasm, that some of it would rub off on you and make you more enthusiastic. And then for those who are weaker, that you try to help them, because we all need help from time to time. So this is, as I said, just a brief reminder for yourselves and for the effort. This is a very good effort. The issue of calling to the way of Allah, this is a major responsibility in the Muslim community, which is not being fulfilled. And for you to step up to do this, mashallah, there's a great reward that Allah has promised, you know, for you. So, inshallah, just know that you're on the right track. Allah's reward is with you. Though a lot of people are invited, only few may show up. But ultimately, the reward is with those who stick to it. So we try to schedule our activities and be consistent. As the Prophet ﷺ has said, you know, Allah loves the deed which is done consistently, even if it is small. So you give yourself the amount of time that you can afford, a reasonable amount. Don't overdo it. Don't overburden yourself. Take what you know you can handle, assign that, and stick with it. Later on, if you want to add, you can add. You know, but it's better than taking a large amount, committing yourself. It's one of the things sometimes volunteers become too enthusiastic, and they want, oh, I'll do this one. Yeah, oh, I'll do that one. And yes, I'll do that one too. And you want to be in everything, but you know, you don't have the the strength to keep that going. Maybe initially, the first week, first month, but then you start to decline. So better to take something which is reasonable, you know you can do this, and just stick with it. Later on, when you become strong and you find this is easy, you can add to it, add to it. Better to be adding than taking away, inshallah. So those are just a few words. You didn't finish your food. So and I'm hungry too. You left me out, you know.
So, inshallah.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, please, if you have any questions, please ask your questions. Okay, try to be very precise.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
First and foremost, as you can see, as what you said before, we are in the straight path. We are in the correct path. How, my question is, how we trying to, you can say, ignore the whisper that we are either being Riyah towards this path, and also that we can make it istiqomah for ourselves.
Okay, brothers. Question, how can we protect ourselves from doing this work for the wrong reasons? The reasons of popularity, fame, etc. For people to clap for us and say, this person is a great this or that. You know, how do we protect ourselves from that? Well, what we do, as I advised in the beginning, that we try to be around those who we know to be sincere. Those who we know are working for the deen sincerely, try to be around them, because their sincerity, inshallah, will rub off on us. You know, keep them as the example. We all need examples. And that will help us to stay and to recognize, you know, where we are. And then it's about also our prayers. Ask Allah to protect our hearts, you know, from riya, from doing righteous deeds to be seen and praised by others. And as well, it is good for us to take stock of ourselves from time to time. You know, we look at ourselves and ask ourselves, why are we doing this? You know, and try to be sincere and honest to ourselves. And if we find that actually we're doing it, you know, because we want to be known, then we seek refuge in Allah from it and try to remove that from our minds, our intentions, reset. Because it doesn't mean that we are off the track or off the path because this comes. Because we are human beings, and these thoughts may enter into our minds and may find root and start to grow. But the key is, as long as we find them, we catch them, we correct them by seeking repentance from Allah and by changing our intention, and inshallah, we can overcome riya. Because at the same time, we don't want riya to become so big that it stops us from doing good deeds. Because that's the other way. Shaitan doesn't get you one way. He doesn't get you with riya. Then he gets you to give up the good deeds out of a fear of falling into riya. So these are both channels by which satanic forces trick us into losing our good deeds. Either losing the value through riya, or losing the deed altogether by giving up the deed because you're afraid that riya will enter into your deed. A lot of people ask me about that, you know. What should we do? We're doing this thing and we feel this riya in ourselves. Should we give it up? No, don't. Keep doing it and change your intention, ask Allah's forgiveness, and inshallah, that's better, because it's better that you continue to do it and you don't get reward for it because of riya than for you not to do it at all. Right? Inshallah.
Wa alaikum
salam.
would like to ask about the ethics of in the WhatsApp group. Putting in this WhatsApp group was non-Muslim and also Muslim. So when it comes to some Muslim posted some Islamic knowledge or dua or wishing the Muslim non-Muslim, for example, Christmas, then I know some knowledge we shouldn't to wish the non-Muslim Christmas, some opinions. How do we react? Let's say I reacted like I put an announcement up. It's like against it. But the non-Muslim felt offended. How to...
Okay, question is, if you're in a mixed group, WhatsApp group, where people may make posts which are un-Islamic, right? Example given was greeting Christians on Christmas, right? Some Muslims in ignorance might feel this is okay and will do it. So do you correct them publicly in that WhatsApp group, which could lead to non-Muslims in the group feeling offended? Because in your saying Muslims shouldn't, in your clarifying, you say Muslims shouldn't be greeting non-Muslims in this way. Then you've opened a can of worms, as they say. The non-Muslim is questioning, why not? Why shouldn't you greet us? You know, this is like offensive. You say, no, you should not greet. So then you have even more things to explain. So the better thing is to address that person outside the group. You get their personal email and send them the message and advise them separately from that group. Unless this is an issue that you are discussing and you need to give clarification, then you can enter into it. Otherwise, it's better not to correct that publicly, where others may be offended by it. Question from the sisters?
Yes. Any other last two questions? Maximum last two questions? Sister? No questions? Try to ask very specific to the topic. If not, then a bit out of topic should be okay. Any? No? So if not, then the brothers, okay. One more question? No more? Okay. Two. Okay. So this will be the end. You will ask the last question, inshallah. So then, right after that, the chef can have the food.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
My question is, before this you were communist, and how, why you choose Islam? Yes,
another lecture.
Well, I think it's a bit tough. Maybe you can know Christian.
Yeah, in summary, because it's a story in and of itself, I'll just say that when I was dissatisfied with communism and what the effectiveness of communism in fixing the problems of the world, because I joined communism believing that it was the answer to human problems, right? It had a system which was supposed to eradicate the evil and promote the good. So when I found that it wasn't eradicating the evil, it was just adding more evils, you know, and the good was not being promoted as it should have been, then it caused me to look elsewhere. And then Islam was presented to me when I was in that state of dissatisfaction. And as such, when I studied Islam, it just was Allah's will that I was given, you know, a book which was a comparative study, looking at communism, capitalism, Islam, Buddhism, you know, etc. And it seemed from what I read that all the good things that were promoted in all these other systems were there in Islam. And all the bad things which made them inferior or made them not a good choice were not found in Islam. So Islam seemed to have gathered all of the good. You know, so that was what intellectually, you know, convinced me that Islam was the way. Of course, spiritual conviction, that took some time. Because after being a communist, denying God's existence for so many years, you know, you don't just change overnight. Okay? Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah.
It's normal that some organizations, the volunteers, are getting big, and it's normal to happen that we have a diversity and split into the two groups, and maybe some of the groups is not agree with the majorities, then they come there with the own movement. So as a not just a volunteer or leaders, how to handle this kind of situation to keep this in harmony?
Okay. Brother's question, good question, that most group efforts are faced with, how to handle differences of opinion. What Shaitan wants is that you split into two. And then after another year, you split into four. And after the next year, then it becomes eight, and so on and so forth. That you splinter. You split into splinter groups, because with the splitting, you get weaker. You know, you split your source of strength, your energy, your resources, all of that has been split. Means you can't be as effective as you were when you were together. So this is one of the ways of undermining the dawah, that the ranks of those who are involved in the dawah become split. So what we need to be is flexible. We have to be able to tolerate different opinions. And even if you have other people with you, but the majority opinion is one way, then you go with the one way. And of course, those in leadership, if they see that the majority are holding a different position than them, then they have to consider that different position and correct themselves relative to it. But if they decide, for whatever reason, that this way, even though they're in the minority, this way is actually the better way, then again, the majority have to be flexible enough to say, okay, since they're the leadership, they may have information we don't necessarily have, you know, we don't have access to or whatever, but they are the leadership that we have accepted from the very beginning, then we need to go along with them. Even though we think our idea is better, we go along with them, and hopefully they will come around to our idea later on, or maybe they won't, you know. And we kept working with them anyway, you know, because the strength is with the group. As the Prophet ﷺ had said, Yadullah ala al-jama'a, the hand of Allah, the support of Allah is with the group. That as long as you stay united, then Allah's support is there for you. You allow yourself to split up, you know, as Allah told us, you know, don't split up your ranks, la tafarraqu, you know, do not split yourself up as those who before you had done, you know, splitting yourselves up, you know, he described into separate groups, each group happy with what they have believed in and what they hold on to. So this is from Shaitan. Know that the splitting is not good. You know, we'll suffer from it. So we should work against it. Try to preserve the ranks. The Sahaba, they had differences. They didn't all agree on everything. But they didn't allow those differences to split their ranks. This is the key. Inshallah. Barakallahu feekum.
Seeking knowledge and obligation made easy. Thought about studying for a long time? Tuition fees keeping you from actually starting? Islamic Online University has led a revolution in online learning. The world's first tuition-free degree, BA in Islamic Studies. Access the knowledge, any place, anytime, anywhere. It just doesn't get any easier than that. Classes, texts, assignments, completely online. Set your own schedule for the semester. No overseas travel required for the exams. Subjects taught by qualified English-speaking scholars. Weekly live sessions in virtual classrooms. With curricula based on those in Al Madinah University in Saudi Arabia, Al Azhar University in Cairo, and other reputable institutions around the world. Why wait any longer? You pay just a symbolic registration fee and are ready to begin the adventure of higher education. The most diverse student body of any university in the world. 130,000 plus registered students from 217 countries. Log in to the website for more details. www.islamiconlineuniversity.com.